Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Blog Talk Radio studio in the heart of Hudson County, folks. You know, it's right here in Union City, New Jersey. This is Working the Marks, and I am New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe, and he is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, Patrick Rivera. What's going on, brother?
How are you, Professor? I'm absolutely just thrilled to be here today on the second episode of Working the Marks Backlash. I believe this is going to be a fantastic premium live show.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, we can't call it a pay-per-view, that's for sure. And, folks, we want to certainly thank you all for tuning in from wherever and however you're doing so here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to, you know, email some comments about our premiere episode and certainly suggestions for future topics or guests even, write to the show, workingthemarks@gmail.com. I promise that we will answer our emails promptly. I tend to not always do that, especially with my students, but I will with this show. Again, workingthemarks@gmail.com. Check us out on our Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, @working_the_marks. And, of course, on Twitter, hit us up as well, @working_marks. That's the show's social media, and certainly we welcome comments. We do appreciate the shares, a healthy amount of listens on our premiere episode a couple of weeks ago, and certainly we're appreciative to everyone who tunes in, and certainly as you continue sharing Working the Marks on your own social media, folks, here as we continue here on Blog Talk Radio. Pat, I'll tell you, man, hell of a Royal Rumble. Got to, watch a really, really good pay-per-view, as I like to call them, and in the road to the Super Bowl of, professional wrestling. Some will call it sports entertainment. I choose not to do that, but the Royal Rumble was quite an event, man. It's usually that great, pay-per-view that kicks off the new year and obviously gets us ready and starts sort of planting the seeds for WrestleMania. Obviously, WrestleMania emanates from Dallas, Texas, actually the suburb of Arlington, Texas, a beautiful city out there in the great state of Texas, a two-night event. And we started seeing some, a little bit of the tide turning here, folks, when it comes to the results. So let's get to it. Certainly, Pat, when we think about this pay-per-view, not a lot of pay-per-views, especially the Royal Rumble, start with a world championship caliber match. I mean, I remember attending the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia in 2018, and that actually is what happened. Very rare. Actually, in 2018, we had AJ Styles defend the WWE Championship against both Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Actually, pretty good match for anyone who hasn't caught that. Do so at, on the Peacock Network, folks. But we start off with Roman Reigns walking down the aisle, obviously with an entrance as long as The Undertaker's now, bro, really, in terms of how long it takes. And when he entered the ring, man, I'll tell you, talk about suspense, talk about just making the fans happy, which I know people don't think Vince likes to do, but he did so in this case. And Seth Rollins and that massive crowd of, 40,000 people at America, at the Dome at America Center in St. Louis, he came out to the old Shield music, even wearing the old Shield attire. I thought it was a nice entrance. And the match itself, bro, was what do you expect? Two solid workers. They told a great story. We had Roman Reigns losing on a disqualification. Apparently, the storyline, Seth Rollins got under his skin, obviously, and, maybe a little karma for what happened, 8 years ago when Seth Rollins destroyed the Shield with that famous chair shot to the back of Roman Reigns. Roman returned the favor. A hell of a match to start off with the Royal Rumble, Pat.
Yeah, boy, I got to say, first and foremost, you saying that it was a good show is probably going to get some heat in itself. And by the way, anybody who's listening to this who feels, you know, completely opposite to how we feel, feel free to chime in with the comments, with everything. Send us an email, whatever you want. But I thought it was a good match. The finish, you know, obviously I don't think anybody's a fan of that type of a finish, but, you know, it makes sense. I mean, they're trying to keep Roman in that position till WrestleMania. And I, from what I understand, you know, they kind of had to call a few audibles at day one that kind of affected this. But I really dug the Shield entrance. I thought that was awesome. And the match itself was good. It was really brutal, really rough match. Just, you know, shame for the finish. But, you know, obviously good work from good workers.
No, absolutely. And you know what, certainly, you know, we thought that maybe, all right, well, this disqualification finish might prolong this feud a little bit more. That does not seem to be the case. And we'll get to that later, obviously, as we'll give you all a preview of the upcoming pay-per-view this month, folks, the Elimination Chamber, emanating from the Superdome in Saudi Arabia. I didn't even know there was another Superdome. Thought the only one was here in North America, down south in New Orleans, Pat. But, you know, what do you know?
It's like Superman and Supergirl and Superboy, Superdome.
Yeah.
You know, there's many of
That's
them.
It.
There's a whole family of Superdomes.
Hey, and when you got that oil money, you can build as many domes as you want, apparently, there in that part of the world. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But certainly a great way to kick off the Royal Rumble. As we, you know, progress through the event itself, I mean, not any particular order, but, you know, the mixed tag match I thought was well done. I thought it was well produced. I wasn't happy, Pat. I'm a big Miz and Maurice fan. I was rooting for them. I was hoping they would have gone over, but a solid match between them against Edge and his wife, Beth Phoenix. A lot of hot tags throughout. I think they all told a great story. You know, when we think about who's probably the least of the workers in that four, probably Maurice to some extent.
Yeah,
but not by
Maurice.
Much, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, not by much, mm-hmm. but I thought it was a good story. I'm hoping this is not the end of the feud, per se, because I think there's still a little life in this. I think Maurice can still probably do something. Again, to drag this to WrestleMania, I'd be asking a lot. But maybe, you know, another match down the line, maybe an Elimination Chamber, who knows? I thought it was a solid match. Not the result I wanted, but what else is new?
I got to say, I mean, you know, for a mixed tag match and, you know, for that type of mixed tag match, I thought it was very well produced. I thought the psychology of the match was really solid. And I thought everybody, you know, pulled their part. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be a show stealer, but it's definitely a good match to have on the card. And a lot of nice little nods, nice little references to their careers. And, you know, as a parent myself, I'm sure it must have been really cool for Edge and Beth Phoenix to have their kids in the front row. And I'm sure the Miz and Maurice had their kids there as well. But, you know, good for what it was. Obviously, not anything that, you know, I think people are going to really be going crazy over, but a very well-produced match by four professionals.
No, I agree. Definitely, it was entertaining. Certainly, you know, knowing that their families were at ringside, I'm sure that added a little bit of pressure to all four of them, right? They wanted to put on a good show, not just for them, but obviously for all the 40,000-plus that were there in St. Louis that night. Moving on to the Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch defeated Doudrop. You know, it's what we expected, you know. We knew that Becky, even though she's the heel, was going to be sort of at a stark disadvantage here. Doudrop, obviously a little bit of the bigger competitor, outweighs her. Certainly Becky, the more seasoned worker, without question. Doudrop's a good worker as well, not just some, you know, big girl they're throwing out there for, you know, for giggles, as they say. But I thought it was a solid match. I think, you know, it served its purpose for what this event was. Obviously, as we're leading to WrestleMania, we know in the direction that Becky is headed towards. I think this was sort of one of those, you know, matches you have to have getting to Texas in April. But I thought overall, not a bad match. You know, yes, Doudrop lost, but I don't think it really killed the momentum. I think she's still seen as a solid woman in the Raw Women's Division.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's a good competitor for the most part. She's somebody you could plug into any type of role that you need her to be in. And, you know, as far as Becky goes, I mean, Becky's just amazing. She's incredibly talented. The biggest takeaway for me for that match was Becky's facial expressions, just her ability to be able to tell a story with her face. How they produced that match as well was also really good. And, you know, obviously you knew Doudrop wasn't going to win, but it was a really good effort. And, yeah, I felt like, you know, Becky came out looking better, looking craftier, a little bit more heat for her. And people can, you know, now take Doudrop a little bit more seriously as a competitor.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, obviously, we're not going to be seeing Doudrop sort of, you know, booked away into obscurity. She'll still be a relevant name in the Raw Women's Division. Moving on to the Males Championship matches, Pat. Certainly, I think we kind of called it, you know, when we did our first episode here for Work in the Marks. But, hey, you know, Brock Lesnar defending the WWE Championship that he had just won 4 weeks prior at Day One, again, the pay-per-view to kick off 2022, defending against Bobby Lashley. And, you know, it's everything we expected. It was two bulls going at it. And, you know, again, good storytelling. You know that Lashley and Lesnar are good professionals. They're going to put on a solid match. I think to some extent you felt they were going to beat the absolute piss out of each other. You kind of saw that early on, right? They're, you know, Lashley was taking a lot of those, you know, German suplexes, obviously. You know,
it was
Lashley
like a kaiju battle, you know?
It really was. And, you know, at one point I felt bad for Lashley because I think he was not really falling the right way, you know? And I was noticing, I was like, whoa, he's kind of falling on his shoulder, and that looks kind of painful. You know, at first Lashley wasn't selling the German suplexes, and I was laughing. But by the same token, Lesnar was doing the same thing. I thought it was a great match overall. And listen, were we surprised that Roman Reigns came in and interfered to some extent? No, we kind of called that.
Nope.
We kind of expected that. We predicted that on our first episode a couple weeks ago. But I thought what was interesting, and I think this is how Vince swerved us, where, yes, Reigns was going to interfere, but we didn't expect really Heyman to do a double turn within a pay period, basically, you know, and Roman Reigns. And I thought that really, again, told another story. I think it reminds us that, you know, we do not deserve Paul Heyman, but we're certainly blessed to have him, folks, because he is an amazing manager, an amazing wrestling mind. And obviously with Roman Reigns interfering and knocking out Lesnar with the WWE Championship belt, it set up, you know, Bobby Lashley, who it was weird because you didn't really know who was the face or the heel in the match. But regardless, Lashley was getting a pop. He was getting a pop to the ring. He got a pop during the
match. Bobby was
pop.
Working like a heel in the match. Yeah, absolutely.
And subsequently after Reigns' interference, the referee again, after the first referee was knocked out, the next referee came down to ringside. Obviously not a big deal that there was clearly outside interference, but you know, hey, you know, we have to suspend disbelief, folks, as we usually do with professional wrestling. But the 1-2-3, Bobby Lashley, the new WWE champion, and he is set to defend the championship. No rest for the weary, as they say, as Bobby Lashley will have to defend the WWE title coming up in the Elimination Chamber in just a couple of weeks. Your thoughts on this match, Pat?
I think you summed it up. I mean, Lashley definitely worked like the heel. It was definitely a kaiju battle, you know what I mean? And it's just these two behemoths beating the shit out of each other, and it was amazing. I was really into it. I think Lashley, this is the best Bobby Lashley we've seen. And Brock Lesnar, he kind of is just on cruise control, and as long as he hits those big spots and, you know, gives the fans what they want, they're going to cheer him, and he's going to be successful.
No, absolutely. And, you know, certainly with Lesnar losing in that fashion, we already, you know, as fans, I know the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, oh, okay, well then, you know, Lesnar's probably going to enter the Rumble. And we'll see where it goes from there. And we'll get to that in a moment. But obviously before the men's Rumble match, we saw the women's Rumble match. And some surprises, you know, obviously early on, Sasha Banks start number one, Melina, current NWA superstar, number two. Kind of surprised. I thought Melina would last a little bit longer in this match, but she did not. As we went through the entries, you know, I'm Mr. Impact. I was so happy. And the pop in St. Louis, folks, for Impact Women World Champion Mickie James, former WWE Women's Champion. And when Hardcore Country hit over the speakers, boy, I'll tell you, people might laugh at me, Mr. Impact, but that reaction, you say what you want, but that got a reaction in St. Louis because people knew exactly who Hardcore Country was. I was ecstatic to see her entrance. Obviously, some other surprises. To some extent, Michelle McCool, you know, great worker in her time. Kelly, not the best worker. Some of these names, you know, Pat, I think, you know, it was good to see. You know, I'm not a fan of the Bella Twins at all, but whatever, they serve their purpose. But, you know, when I heard Primo, I was like, okay, bathroom break, you know, went to bathroom. Then when I heard, you know, Nikki's theme, oh, let me go to the fridge, let me get a beer. You know, that was sort of my reaction to some of these entries. But obviously we all know that the entry that arguably got the biggest pop and surprise was former Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey. She was one of the late numbers and entries. And, hey, Ronda Rousey punches her ticket, winning the Royal Rumble, eliminating my pick, the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte. Hey, you know, kudos to Ronda coming back from maternity leave. She looks great. And I think, you know, again, it sets up an interesting scenario for WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the inclusion of Ronda Rousey immediately draws a lot more eyeballs than just about anybody that they have in that roster. She's, you know, she's a great athlete. You know, it's good to have her back, especially if you're Vince, especially, you know, if you want to, you know, fill up that stadium down there in Texas. You know, she's an important part of all of that. And what better way to guarantee that people will fill that place up than to have her go over in the Royal Rumble? I know a lot of people online, I mean, a lot of these mark rags, they like to cry, they like to complain and bellyache. And, you know, the Rumble this, the Rumble that, you know, I hate it, Monday Night Raw sucks, and SmackDown sucks, and WWE. But you still watch it. And guess what, folks? You can stop watching it at any time. All right? I am a diehard New York Yankees fan. I do not watch the Boston Red Sox. You know why? Because I don't like them. And the only time that I do watch them is when the Yankees are kicking their ass or when they're playing against each other, because sometimes those assholes get lucky and beat us. But the point is that I don't watch things that I don't like. So wrestling fans, if you don't like WWE, if you don't like AEW, if you don't like New Japan, if you don't like Impact, if you don't like AAA, if you don't like CMLL, if you don't like Defy, if you don't like Progress, if you don't like any of the wrestling companies that are out there, you don't have to watch them. But anyways, that's a whole other sidebar.
No, good point.
Yeah. But all in all, I thought the Women's Rumble was exactly what it needed to be. I thought all the girls, you know, did their best. And yeah, man, I thought it was well produced as well. I really did.
Yeah, well done. You know, certainly, again, we've only had a handful of Women's Royal Rumbles, certainly going back to the first one in 2018. Again, I was privileged to be there. Not privileged to be in the dump that is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but certainly privileged to be there for that revolutionary event, and certainly seeing Asuka win back in 2018. And certainly now Ronda Rousey can add her name to the record books, as they say, as the one of the exclusive winners of the Women's Royal Rumble. So definitely we'll see. You know, who she decides on. A lot of the dirt sheets, a lot of the so-called wrestling journalists are alleging that Ronda will select Charlotte Flair for her opponent at WrestleMania. Makes a little sense, a little unfinished business there from WrestleMania 35 here at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey when she lost in the triple threat match to Charlotte and, she lost it to Becky Lynch. But should be interesting. I know the dirt sheets are saying that Vince wants to save Ronda Rousey against Becky for next year's WrestleMania in SoFi Stadium out there in Inglewood, you know, just outside of Los Angeles coming up. Mm-hmm. But it seems like all indications point to Ronda selecting Charlotte. So that should be a good match. I think that, you know, Charlotte's, again, one of the best workers on my Mount Rushmore of women's wrestlers. And I think they should have a good match. Again, whatever inefficiencies Ronda may still have, whether it's ring rust or just not being that worker, I think that Charlotte will help camouflage it a little bit. And, you know, again, and we'll preview Mania in the coming weeks, folks. We'll see if our predictions come true. But, you know, definitely one to watch out for in terms of what that women's title match will mean. Obviously, folks, the Men's Royal Rumble, not too many surprises there. I think a lot more surprise entries in the women's Royal Rumble than there were in the men's. Again, going back to the Universal Championship match, once Lesnar lost in the fashion that he did, he kind of, thought to yourself, hey, well, let's not be surprised if Lesnar enters the Rumble because, hey, does he still want a piece of Roman Reigns? Is it another storyline? Has Vince given up on that? Absolutely not. And, again, some good spots throughout the event. Early on, Austin Theory, a guy who I thought was going to be in the Final Four, was not. Certainly people like Riddle, whose stock continues to go up exponentially, especially in the eyes of Vince. He checks off a lot of boxes, as I said before. A UFC star that's transitioned to pro wrestling, a guy who's personable, a guy who just, relates to people and can sell merch and has sort of a goofy gimmick that, again, some people relate to and they enjoy that. Those things about comedy and pro wrestling. Well, you know what? Riddle fulfills that for that part of the audience. So, good to see him there at the end. Some heat, though, Patrick, according to some insiders, and again, we have to take this with a grain of salt because, wrestling journalists sometimes tend to be as, they tend to be as accurate as CNN or MSNBC. Shane McMahon.
Or Fox News?
Perhaps, maybe. And Shane McMahon, one of the later entries into the Rumble match. Certainly, we didn't expect him to be there at the end. But he, along with a few others, obviously, lasted pretty long. And, of course, Lesnar being number 30, I would have thought that maybe someone else came in, he would have, taken him out, maybe hurt them in the back, and then Lesnar comes out. But that wasn't the case, Once number 30 hit, the buzzer went off, you heard Here Comes the Pain, and, that got a pop out of everybody in St. Louis.
I'm with you on that. I think, all right, so there's a lot of layers here real quick to peel. But the Matt Riddle thing I heard was proven not to be true. That was actually made up. Brock was going to win all along because Brock had to get to Roman. And as far as it goes with Shane McMahon, I just kind of find it hard to believe that a guy who's kind of office or is a part of Vince's family is going to have heat with the boys. Plus, he's a guy that's willing to do anything. And I think as a wrestler, you want to work with a guy like that because he's going to be willing to do whatever he can to make you look good. He's not the best guy, but you can work with him. I mean, Kurt Angle had a fucking classic with him. Pardon my French. But, he's somebody that you could work with and you can make something happen there. So for me to kind of hear that there's heat with the people backstage, again, you got to take this stuff with a grain of salt. You can't get too crazy about it. But Brock winning, I get it. They're getting to where they got to get to. They're getting to WrestleMania. One of the highlights for me in the Rumble was actually Matt Riddle, because for so long, Matt Riddle's been lobbying to have this match with Brock Lesnar. And, there was rumors of them having this backstage altercation, and Brock told him, I'm never going to work with you. You're a joke and this and that and all this other stuff. And when Brock's music hit, Matt Riddle's face lit up like if it was Christmas Day, okay? He lit up like a Christmas tree. It was hilarious.
Right. Yep, that's right. That's right.
And,
yeah, that's right.
And Brock had one of the coolest eliminations when he caught him in midair and he just chucked him outside. But, you get to where you got to get to. And look, the Mark's not going to like it. They're going to complain. They're going to say, oh, this is stupid. You should have had AJ Styles win. I'd like to see AJ Styles against Edge. I really would. I think that would be cool at WrestleMania. But, they're going to complain no matter what. But at the end of the day, the fans were happy. And the fans want to see Brock Lesnar kick ass. And Vince McMahon knows that. And Vince McMahon knows that he's going to sell tickets with that. So whether the Marks like it or not, he's still going to do that. And he's going to succeed with doing that. And people are still going to keep watching for better or worse.
Absolutely. And certainly, with Lesnar winning the Rumble, second time for him, obviously the first time back in 2003, which set up that classic at WrestleMania 19 against Kurt Angle for the WWE title. You got to believe that certainly him winning the Royal Rumble and now, again, him punching his ticket to WrestleMania not only seems inevitable, but seems almost a certainty that he will be faced off against Roman Reigns. And again, an overall, a great Rumble. You know, in the decades we've seen this, from the very first one in 1988, where Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the winner, eliminating the one-man gang, and seeing, you know, Lesnar eliminate Drew McIntyre, which, you know, a little symmetry there from McIntyre eliminating him in 2020. I think a lot of people would still like to see that match happen at some point, Patrick, you know, with a crowd. You know, we were denied that in 2020 due to COVID. You know, listen, maybe down the road, I think it'd be a great match to have in front of a live crowd for sure, but we'll see. But again, Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble, sets up the road to WrestleMania, and again, he is going to be in the next pay-per-view inside the Elimination Chamber to challenge Bobby Lashley, and there's some significance as to why this match could be, well, you know, integral into the main event itself of WrestleMania 38. But we'll get to that in a minute, but first, certainly, you know, the main event here this week, and what we really want to break down, I know a lot of you out there, once you see the title of this, of tonight's, you know, episode, you're going to mark out, again, excuse the pun, but, you know, Patrick and I are going to, you know, we're going to have class here today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the professor and me, I think, are going to come out right now, but let's have class here, okay? Let's dissect, ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with the WWE in terms of, you know, whether it's storylines, presentation, whatever. We're going to tell you today what's wrong with the WWE and what's wrong. I know, God forbid, some of the marks might have a meltdown when they hear this, but what's wrong with All Elite Wrestling? So we'll do each individually. Let's start off, Patrick, with, again, in my mind, you know, when I think about what's wrong with WWE, I mean, listen, you know, Vince McMahon has been doing this for over 40 years. And Vince McMahon has pretty, you know, has the blueprint about what is successful pro wrestling / sports entertainment, as he likes to, you know, call it, you know, whether it's marketing, whether it's being able to sell tickets, merch, create just insane gate at these events. Obviously, we just saw, you know, Wall Street Journal reporting that in 2021, it was the most profitable year yet for WWE. I believe they've grossed over $1.4 billion in revenues. I wouldn't know because my stock share hasn't gone up at all. So if anything, I don't know what the hell's going on with this, you know, this profitability by Vince McMahon. It's not reflecting on the stock, but that's my pet peeve. But when we look at, you know, when we look at Vince, Patrick, though, I think that, you know, this is a guy who has gotten it right a hell of a lot more times than he's gotten it wrong. And I know that's going to piss off a lot of people in the way I just verbalized it. But, you know, whether it's incorporating pop culture into pro wrestling, let's remember back in the mid-'80s, folks, you know, when MTV was MTV, right, at its infancy, you know, to get then WWF on MTV, to get pop culture stars involved with WWF, you know, / WWE, and throughout the decades, you know, Vince has been able to do that. Take the company public, you know, be that force, be the number one wrestling company in the planet. Am I always happy with this booking? Of course not. But, you know, who am I? You know, I book on WWE 2K on my PlayStation. That's the extent of my knowledge of booking. But, you know, I'm never going to be happy. Again, I think at times I can fall into that category of the emotional mark. But, you know, more times than not, Vince has gotten it right. However, I would argue that, you know, as a fan, I think what WWE gets wrong maybe lately is, hey, maybe the shows aren't always interesting, you know, on Monday nights. I still watch, to your point about, hey, I might complain, but I'm still watching. You know, I have it in my background, you know. I'm in my home office. I'm watching Raw, but, you know, if there's a good Monday Night Football game on ESPN, I'll watch it. You know, obviously it's January. The Bachelor, I know, don't judge, folks, but The Bachelor's an entertaining show on ABC. It's a bunch of hot women chasing one guy. You know, no offense, that's going to get ratings. You know, maybe, who knows, the NBA is on. You know, again, during baseball season, when the Yankees are playing, maybe I'll have that on. But by and large, I'll keep watching. I just at times don't like the booking. I don't like how Raw drags sometimes. That's not the case with SmackDown. But I would argue that, you know, again, I think what WWE does wrong, per se, is maybe sometimes not give enough, you know, TV time to certain people. But again, that's me being a fan, Patrick. Like, you know, we have our favorites, we cheer them. We have our villains, we boo them. We don't want them on TV. But I would say that, you know, right now, you know, there's not a lot of things wrong that Vince is doing. Vince is trying to make money. Vince doesn't apologize for that. Vince is trying to get ratings, and let's be honest, without even trying, he still pulls in $1.2 million, $1.3 million, at times $1.4 million. I mean, now that the NFL season's over, Rob might go back to 1.3-ish, you know? He's still getting a 1.3, 1.4 million audience on Raw without even trying. That's not the case with AEW, and I'll get to them in a minute, but your thoughts on what I just dissected.
I think, you know, you bring up you echo a lot of the sentiments of a lot of fans, at least the ones that I talk to, at least the ones that I know that have been longtime fans. I just think people feel like whatever it was that Vince used to do a long time ago, he stopped doing it. And I think it was appealing for a lot of reasons. I think it was appealing because it's nostalgic, you know, and it's nice to remember a time in our lives where we didn't have a whole heck of a lot of responsibilities. But, you know, I just think that the style of it, you know, was something that I think people got used to. And they thought that wrestling would be that forever. And I think it's evolved. And I think now what Vince is doing in terms of, like, you know, NXT 2.0 is he's looking for legitimate athletes. Because when he looks at his main roster, who's the people that really, you know, move the needle, so to speak? Roman Reigns was at one point, what, a professional football player? Or he tried out to be, had, you know...
Yep.
Elite skills enough to be able to try out, you know what I mean? So to have that level of skill and athleticism, that's something that can lend itself to professional wrestling or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. Brock Lesnar, you know, accomplished amateur wrestler, former UFC champion, you know, mixed martial artist, tried out for football as well. Ronda Rousey, arguably the greatest women MMA fighter of all time. You know what I'm saying? These are people who are all legitimate athletes. So when the audience sees them and sees them on a marquee and sees them wrestling some huge giant or some character that Vince McMahon created or some super skilled wrestler or some charismatic person, it's believable to them that this could be a good fight because there's somebody legitimate there that's drawing them. So Vince is getting a lot of legitimate athletes, you know, that he's bringing in, accomplished amateur wrestlers, you know, basketball players, weightlifters, Olympic weightlifters, stuff like that. And he also has the Next in Line initiative. He's basically trying to build a bunch of Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Ronda Rousey's. That's what he's trying to do. Because in his mind, that's going to put asses in seats. And I think that fans have become disconnected from the product because the product no longer can be what it once was. So it's like fans are almost like constantly, every time they watch, it seems like fans are mourning what WWE used to be. You know what I mean? And they're kind of hoping that it'll go back to that, but it can't. It's already too far along. It's never going to be that again. And Vince has tried everything. Vince has done everything to please everybody. Okay? He made NXT, which was basically like the indies, you know, which was basically like the same type of vibe as ECW and stuff like that. And the fans liked it. But not enough. You know what I'm saying? Not enough. And you know, he's done everything that he can to turn a profit. And now he's just basically looking at it as long-term. Like, how can this continue to be something 20, 30 years from now when I'm either dead or I'm fucking Palpatine to a wall? You know what I'm saying? How is it going to become like that? And this is
the way
I think he's doing it.
No, Pat, listen, good points there. And I'm with you. I think Vince is going to be like Emperor Palpatine from the Star Wars franchise. I think he'll be hooked up to a machine when he's 180 years old. I think he'll be one of those, you know, self-sustaining people for some reason. I can't imagine Vince McMahon, you know, the Walter Mercado-looking guy now with the suits and the sort of the makeup and everything. But, no, but listen, Pat, you're right about that. I think that And I just wanted to piggyback on something you just said that, you know, we're not going to go back to the time where, whether it was either the dawn of the Attitude. And I know a lot of people look back at the Attitude Era with some fondness. It's the nostalgia that gets us always animated about, you know, WWE. But, you know, that's not what Vince is about. I think, you know, and we're seeing that, right? We're seeing what he and Nick Khan, arguably the most powerful Khan in professional wrestling. I know that's going to piss off some marks listening here, but it's the truth. He, along with Nicholas, have a vision of what they want NXT 2.0 to be. And this is the thing, too. I think that a lot of people online take to Instagram and Twitter and they complain about, oh, they don't like what NXT's become. We don't know anybody. Look at all these new faces. This isn't really getting over. Understand something, folks, that, you know, 10 years ago when, you know, we watched NXT, and remember, this was before the network, right? NXT was basically a YouTube show, okay? It wasn't even on USA Network yet, okay? Let's look back 10 years ago to who was on NXT, right? Well, Big E Langston, Seth Rollins, right? Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, to, you know, Charlotte, a very young Charlotte, very young, you know, Sasha and Becky. And, you know, again, as we went through 2012, Bailey. 2013, 2014, Bailey, 2015. Okay. Well, guess what? Yeah. As the years went on, NXT takeovers arguably were better pay-per-views than the regular main roster pay-per-views. But guess what? That took time to marinate organically, right? The Samoa Joes, the Finn Balors, getting those guys in there, Drew McIntyre, you know, even, you know, the Adam Cole, baby, you know, all those guys, those are all names that went through NXT. And that took time to get on TV, to watch, you know, they had a niche audience, you know, but that took time. And guess what? NXT got over with the fans so much that, again, people enjoyed going to takeovers more than regular pay-per-views. And you saw that. You saw the energy and the pop in the building. I think that, you know, people just got to be patient now. Yeah, I get it. Bron Breakker's maybe a name you don't know, or you're complaining that, oh, well, Bron, you know, he should go by Bronson Steiner. Well, guess what? Vince doesn't want that. Vince feels that, hey, what's a marketable name? Bron Breakker. You know, at the end of the day, you know, despite the fact that Vince is a billionaire, and he, again, continues to be one, again, according to the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, obviously WWE has just entered its most profitable year, Vince cares about making money. And guess what? T-shirts, whatever, that's going to make it marketable. And I think that people sometimes, I think wrestling fans are the most impatient demographic of any fandom, Pat, whether it's pro wrestling, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's pop culture, Marvel movies, DC movies. Like, people are impatient about everything. I would argue pro wrestling fans are the most impatient demographic of them all.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think, you know, you know what, though? It's not even so much that, because they could go on the flip side of the coin and let things marinate in AEW that are completely piss poor, that make no sense in terms of pro wrestling storytelling, that make no sense in terms of psychology. But they're like, no, let it go. Long-term storytelling. Okay, fine. Well, consider NXT 2.0 long-term storytelling. The interesting thing, too, is that a lot of people actually hate it because they think it's Bruce Pritchard and Vince, right? But little do they actually know it's that it's Shawn Michaels that's basically running it. And, you know, it's Shawn, for the most part, I think he's doing a fantastic job. I think he's carrying on for Triple H. And I think they're building something really good there. And I think they're getting these talents polished. They're getting Bron Breakker polished. They're putting Bron Breakker in a position eventually where he is going to be a top star, okay?
Yep.
And people are going to be chanting that name, Breakker, whatever it is. I could see that shit happening. But he's going to be a top star for WWE. And I just think that, you know, fans automatically criticize it because it's WWE. If AEW had a developmental that they were putting on TV, they would love it. They would love it. It would be their new favorite little rebel promotion. But the fact WWE, I think people don't give it the objectivity that it deserves and that they would normally give to other wrestling companies.
I agree. And I think that also, again, it sort of goes back to the premise here where, you know, there are a lot of things that Vince does right. And I know that bothers people, someone for me to say that openly. And you as well. Vince does a lot of things right. Again, I think it becomes a very subjective conversation about what we think Vince does wrong. And I think, it, you know, maybe these little things we can sort of dissect and micromanage and nitpick that we don't like specifically. I mean, again, I'm not a fan of R-Truth. I'm not a fan of comedy. I'm not a fan of, you know, the 24/7 championship. I think it's a waste of time. But again, I think it fills a void or appeases a certain type of the audience that likes comedy. I get it. You know, I'm not a fan. Again, bathroom break for me, or go to the fridge, get a juice, whatever. But again, Vince understands that there are parts of the audience that find that humorous. Same thing with certain women's matches. You know, again, I'm not really a fan of Nikki A.S.H. anymore. I never was, but again, credit to her. She got a gimmick over that she took to Vince, and it got over for, I don't know, maybe a month, maybe a pay period. I don't know. But again, you know, that's Vince knows that that's going to serve a purpose. Little kids, specifically little girls who watch the product, are going to drag their fathers to the merchandise table, get a shirt, get a mask, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I might not like it, but you know, you and I have talked off the air. You know, I may not like it, mm-hmm. but I'm not the audience Vince is looking for. Vince is looking for a different audience that is going to keep spending money. Aside from paying $5 a month on Peacock, you know, I'm not really ordering merch too much, maybe during Christmas time. I might not be going to shows, but kids, you know, parents and their children are. Again, you know, I would argue that, you know, the little things that, you know, we don't like that Vince does, but we're still watching anyway, Pat. So, again, it'll be interesting to see, you know, in 2022 as we lead up to WrestleMania, whether or not the fans will be happy. But, you know, Pat, and it helps us transition to sort of AEW where, you know, we've talked off the air about this a lot. And I'll just start off by saying that, you know, just a couple of days ago, you know, we had a match that it was promoted heavily on TNT, on TBS. I mean, I was watching NBA games. I was watching my Lakers the other day. Well, for now, my Lakers. Well, no, we'll see. The basketball polygamist in me will pick probably a new team in the next couple of weeks. We saw MJF CM Punk promos. We saw billboards. Even a friend of mine in Manhattan saw a promo on the bus. You know, there was a lot of, you know, hype about this match. And, you know, the sizzle, they sold us on the sizzle. The steak wasn't as great after all. But that's sort of a part of a bigger problem here with AEW, because I think the biggest problem that stands out for me is, you know, it's coming up on 3 years now. Okay, it's coming up in 3 years. We had Double or Nothing in May of 2019. And I get it, you know, people want to factor in the pandemic or whatever. The bottom line is, AEW, I think the biggest thing that's wrong with them is that there is this sense and this odor and aroma of complacency. There's no sense of urgency with Tony Khan. And I get it, you know, Tony Khan doesn't have a circle like Vince McMahon that works around him. You know, Vince has the final say. We get it. But Vince has a trusted circle. It's gotten smaller over the years, right? Obviously, the passing of Pat Patterson and others. But Tony Khan doesn't have that. Again, no disrespect to Jerry Lynn, but that's about all he has. And there's no urgency, you know. They're not pulling in ratings. You know, they had 1.1 million 2 weeks ago, and arguably a pretty decent Dynamite, a good Dynamite. And then sure enough, what happened? You know, this week with Punk and MJF, all the hype for the last 2 months, and they drew like 936,000 fans. I mean, that's brutal for Tony Khan. And it's a reminder, there's no urgency with Tony Khan. You have stars like Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Adam Cole. I know you may laugh when I say that, but names that people know, whether it's from Ring of Honor, WWE, whatever, these are guys you need to be pushing and not putting them in meaningless feuds or not, I hate to use the word book, presenting them in a way that doesn't seem realistic, or it's bad presentation. And again, their niche audience only covers so much, Patrick. They need to be pulling a million one, million two every week. They're not doing that. And it just seems like Tony Khan is perfectly happy treading water, and he's going to do so at his own peril.
I'm with you 100%. And just some other things I'd like to kind of elaborate on. I just think that AEW has had an opportunity that Impact didn't have, that a lot of other companies that were trying to compete, quote unquote, compete with Vince McMahon didn't have. They have big money backing. Now they finally have stars. Before, you know, it was kind of rough. You know, the biggest star was Jericho. You know, then they got Moxley, you know, and then they worked their way up. Kenny Omega is a fantastic professional wrestler. Kenny Omega is good at what Kenny Omega does. He's great, one of the best in the world. But Kenny Omega is not a guy that's going to draw people, not like the way Chris Jericho would, not like the way that Dean Ambrose would. I mean, I'm sorry, John Moxley would. I just think that AEW had a golden opportunity because Vince right now isn't really putting out his best stuff. It's still there. I think a lot of it has to do with the name value, as well as the fact that, like, they know how to bring people in. They know how to casually bring people in, and they know when. And there's a seasonal rotation when they bring people in, you know, WrestleMania and whatnot. But AEW is just kind of just like, no, we're not going to do this really hot thing to grow our audience. We're not going to expand outside of the diehards that are going to tune in no matter what. We're not going to do that. We're not going to just go for the casuals. Like, we're going to just do stuff that satisfies the marks. That's it. You know what I mean? And you have to go outside of that. You have to grow your TV audience. If you're not growing your TV audience and you're a nationally syndicated program, what are you doing? What are you really, really doing? You know what I mean? They moved it to TBS, mm-hmm. which is a network that yep. gets to more people. Okay. It's not on the same network. Well, it might be. Does it compete with the NBA or no, right? Because they moved it to CBS or something. I don't know.
I mean, listen, there are a couple of nights where maybe there's a good NBA game on a Wednesday on TNT, and people need to tune into that. I mean, again, it's February, you know.
Regardless, though, they should still be able to pull people on the strength of the stars that they have. The problem is that they're not doing hot shit. They're counting on the fact that they have money right now and they can sign all these guys, but they're going to take their time in telling a story. And that's going to somehow draw like millions of people every week to watch the program. The problem is that the casual audience and the people that they should be pulling in, they don't really know about wrestling. They didn't grow up watching that shit. This is the UFC generation now, these kids, you know? Wrestling is kind of like an antiquated thing, you know? But I just think AEW really needs to put their foot on the pedal. And I think, like, now with mm-hmm. this MJF and Punk thing, MJF should bring in Samoa Joe. He should bring in Samoa Joe as his enforcer, have Wardlow turn, go with CM Punk, Wardlow and CM Punk against Samoa Joe and MJF. That's interesting. And that's a guy that people are going to know. And that's going to be two other matches that you're going to generate from that down the line before you even get to the pay-per-view where you do a rematch. And the thing is they're absolutely not doing that. Just not.
No, Pat,
you know?
Pat, I'm with you. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish your thought real quick. But you're right. I think, it goes back to the point of no urgency. And, you know, what Vince has done well for 40 years is, whether you like it or not, when you start incorporating pop culture components into the product, people are going to watch. Again, you know, back to the mid-80s, the Rock and Wrestling connection, you know, when you got MTV on board, right, it got more eyes on the product. You know, same thing through the 90s during the Attitude Era, right? I mean, you got, you know, guest hosts, people coming into Royal Rumbles or pay-per-views. You had the celebrities. I mean, that's just something that Tony Khan isn't milking or maximizing. And again, it's not enough to just bring all people from TBS. I get it. No disrespect to Rosario Dawson. She's an accomplished actress. I like her, but she doesn't move the needle.
Jack.
Whatever, you know, judge on the Go Big Show on TBS. Again, that doesn't do enough. You have to start getting more mainstream. Yeah, you know, they had Shaquille O'Neal, NBA Hall of Famer on, but that was kind of a quick month or two. You know, you need to bring in more mainstream people to get eyes on the product. You know, I'm not saying, listen, ESPN has their contract with WWE. You're only going to see WWE stars on ESPN. But you know what? Go to Fox Sports. You know, try to acclimate yourselves to them. Same thing with other channels. Try to get more eyes on the product. It just seems like Tony Khan, again, is complacent. He just thinks that, oh, our audience is fine. We can let this marinate organically. No, you don't have time for that. Okay? You said it perfectly. The advantage he has is he has money. You know, I'm Mr. Impact, but, you know, as we approach the 20-year anniversary of Impact Wrestling, guess what? Yeah, they've gotten some mainstream people once in a blue moon, but it wasn't enough to get, you know, a consistent million-plus rating every week. That's, I think, where Tony Khan continues to drop the ball. And unfortunately, nobody in the company will say that to Tony Khan. And again, it does him a disservice.
Yeah, I agree, man. I just think that, you know, Tony Khan has he has an opportunity to really do something that nobody's really done since WCW. And I just think that for whatever reason, he's just being incredibly complacent, and he's kind of just like, oh, no, we'll make him wait for it. No, it's not going to work that way. You have these people now. What's to say, and I hope this doesn't happen, but what's to say if CM Punk gets hurt and he's done and it's a career-ending knee injury type of deal or something? Then what? What are you left with? You didn't grow your brand. You didn't do anything. You know, it was a waste. It was a waste. People didn't wait 7 years to see him wrestle a bunch of kids. And no offense to them, they're talented guys, but in the eyes of the fans, CM Punk's a top card guy. He should be competing against Kenny Omega. He should be doing stuff like that. But that's all on the ratings thing. That's another thing, too. I think the ratings thing needs to go. It needs to go. It's ridiculous. These people that rack up, like, you know, 1,000 wins on Elevated, whatever. What's it called?
Dark Elevation or Dark.
Dark Up. And or Dark, whatever. It sounds like prequel movies to the Chronicles of Riddick. I don't know, you know. But that kind of thing, like, they need to get rid of that, because when people come in from other companies or when superstars come in, you have to put them in positions where they're at the top of the card and they're pulling the most eyes that they can. Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, those are two guys that should be at the top of the card, you know. They should be the ones that are pulling in the fans. They should be in the big programs. But I don't know. I really do hope, for the sake of AEW, for the sake of Tony Khan, I hope that he proves everybody wrong. I really, really do. I sincerely do. Even though I'm not a fan of AEW, I hope that he does. Because it would mean that wrestling succeeds and it continues to grow. You know?
I'm with you. You said it perfectly. I'm with you. I want competition. I want some alternatives. I want the wrestling business to keep thriving. And like you said it perfectly, you know, Khan has the advantage where he can be, you know, sort of that not direct competition to Vince McMahon, but be that thorn in the side like WCW was to Vince, you know, for so many years. And he can do that. But Tony Khan, again, I think, has to look in the mirror, have a come to Jesus moment, as they say, and maybe figure out, hey, I need to pick up the pace here. I need to make this product a lot, not necessarily edgier, but a lot more mainstream if it's to survive in the long term. And again, have the longevity that we want out of a company. You know, say what you want about Impact. They're celebrating 20 years. They've survived for a reason, right? Whether it's good booking, whether they've been judicious with their signings, with their money, whatever. They're not on the most watched channel, Access TV. But, you know, they continue to be relevant to some extent. So we'll see what happens, obviously, in the next few weeks.
Fernando, real quick point here, real quick sidebar. Take the Royal Rumble, for example. For as much as everybody criticizes it and talks smack about it, right? It had Bad Bunny, who has a billion followers worldwide on Instagram, has a billion streams on like Spotify or YouTube Music or Apple Music, iTunes, whatever you want to call it. This guy, he's globally known, okay? And Johnny Knoxville, who has a movie that's coming out. Everybody laughed at that. More people saw that Royal Rumble and are talking about that Royal Rumble than anything AEW did. So AEW needs to use the money that they have, and they need to bring in athletes. They need to bring in actors. They need to bring in people that are cool. And they need to make them fans of AEW, and they need to create new fans of AEW.
That's right. That's right. And that's something that, again, whether you like it or not, Vince has been doing exceptionally well for almost half a century, obviously going back to the times of his father as well. Pat, we're going to wrap up soon here. But, again, the Royal Rumble is behind us. The next road to WrestleMania, again, the stop is in Saudi Arabia at the Jeddah Superdome. Certainly this building looks ridiculous when you look at it on its Instagram. It's an amazing facility. The Elimination Chamber comes on Peacock on February the 19th. By the way, a great day of wrestling, because we got the Elimination Chamber at 12 noon on Peacock, and then later at night we have Impact Wrestling, and you know what? They're one of their staple events coming up, No Surrender, later at 8 p.m. So what a great day of wrestling for me, who loves wrestling, you know. Hey, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., great. Take a little break, maybe have a nap, have my dinner, and then I get to watch No Surrender. But before we get to No Surrender real quick, the Elimination Chamber obviously comes to us from Saudi Arabia. The main event is set. Brock Lesnar wanted a rematch this past Monday on Raw against Bobby Lashley after losing in the way that he did at the Royal Rumble. Lashley and his manager, MVP, said they will not give him a rematch on Raw. You know, WWE official Adam, what's his name, Levine? I'm sorry, that's the Maroon 5 guy. Adam Pearce declared that the
Adam Pearce.
That's right. And the Elimination Chamber will have six guys. You know, obviously one of them will be Bobby Lashley defending the WWE title. Certainly, Lesnar has been put into the match. We had qualifying matches on Monday. We ended up having now Seth Rollins, who did not have to qualify. Actually, was already put in the match. Matt Riddle was put into the match. AJ Styles, Austin Theory. I think it's going to be a solid six-pack challenge, as they say, for the WWE Championship inside the chamber. I mean, again, we're sort of just, you know, and this is where people say, no, maybe Vince is being a little too predictable here. It seems like the rumors are circulating that Vince wants title for title in Dallas between Roman Reigns. Obviously, Brock Lesnar would appear he's going to win this match and set up that potential title for title showdown for WrestleMania 38. Pretty interesting dynamics here in this Rumble match. I mean, I don't, you know, you like to think that Lashley isn't just some transitional champion, but from what it looks like, that might be the case.
I mean, look, here's the thing. There's so many rumors out there that it's kind of hard to believe any of them. But if they're going to do title versus title, I guess that would be the way to do it. They had a chance before to kind of end the Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar thing, or, you know, Brock with the WWE title thing at Royal Rumble. They could have ended it right there with the way the match finished. So obviously I think they're doing this so they can gear towards a unification bout. But all in all, I think it'll be a fun match. You look at the people that are in it. I think it's really cool. We're going to see Brock Lesnar and Matt Riddle. I kind of hope they start it. I think that would be awesome. And you know, obviously what? Austin Theory, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins. It's going to be a good match. People could call this show a glorified house show, whatever they want. They're shipping the gimmick all the way out to the desert. If they're shipping the gimmick out to the desert, you better show up when you're in the gimmick. You know what I mean? So I don't think anybody's going to phone it in. I think everybody's going to really put forth a great effort. And if they build up a title versus title, that's going to be fine. That's going to be fine. I know people are going to complain, oh, Lashley this, and that. Again, it's a possibility. It kind of looks like they're going that way based on throwing Brock in there. But let's see. Let's ride this thing out. And I think wrestling fans should really enjoy this match because I think it's going to be something really cool.
I agree. And again, it's, you know, as they're getting up in age, for example, AJ Styles, I mean, these are these performances you want to take advantage of and appreciate, you know, and give AJ his flowers now. He's still performing at an optimum level as he is over 40. Same thing with Lashley, I believe. To some extent, Lesnar, perhaps, you know, you have the young stallions in here, excuse the pun, of Austin Theory and Matt Riddle. You have a seasoned veteran in Seth Rollins. I think it's going to be a great match. You know, the rest of the card, again, hasn't really filled out yet. I mean, we do know the Raw Women's Championship will be defended. Becky Lynch will be challenged by Hall of Famer Lita. I know that some fans were like, oh, God, why are we doing this? Well, guess what? Again, what Vince does well.
I'm pulling my song up right now as we speak.
Exactly.
I'm pulling my song up, Fernando.
Exactly. And you know what? You know, Vince knows that people live on nostalgia. People love their nostalgia. And Lita checks off a lot of boxes. It makes us think back to the Attitude Era. And whether you liked it or not, people look back at the Attitude Era with fondness, you know, and her rivalries with Trish and other ladies that started this revolution, right, and sort of broke barriers by, you know, main eventing, you know, Raws and other events. But bottom line is, again, I think this is not a roadblock for Becky Lynch. I think that this is just another match to keep Becky going strong into WrestleMania. Again, we don't know exactly who her challenger is going to be because it seems by all estimations that Ronda is going to pick Charlotte Flair. So who knows? Maybe you know, who knows? Maybe Lita does win the belt. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe Becky gets it back. I don't know, but I think it presents a lot of interesting scenarios. I think Lita, obviously you've seen Lita in a few Royal Rumbles back in 2018. You just saw her last weekend. Obviously in this Women's Royal Rumble, Lita can still work. She may not be, you know, this may not be Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage, Patrick, but I think this is going to be a match. You know, I think this is going to be a good match. I think it sets up the story that, you know, that they want to tell about the veteran, the icon maybe passing the torch to the new blood like Becky. We'll see. I think it's a good match. Obviously, we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championship on the line. The Usos will be defending against the Viking Raiders. Folks, you know, people forget, man, the Usos have been around for 12 years now, and they continue to be arguably one of the top three teams in the sport of professional wrestling for a better part of a decade. I don't think we give the Usos enough of their flowers, as they say. They've been amazing. They've put on sensational work. I think this is a match that, you know, two contrasting styles between the Viking Raiders and the Usos, but I kind of see the Usos coming out on top.
Yeah. As far as Lita and Becky goes, I think that's going to be, you know, good for Becky. I think that's going to be a great rub for her. I think she's going to be able to work something with Lita. I think they're going to be able to tell a good story. And the Viking Raiders and the Usos, I'm kind of glad that this finally happened. I know a lot of people could do without the goofy sports entertainment stuff, but, you know, it's how they do it. It's how they do it. And I'm just glad that we're actually getting to the match. I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a fun match.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I just think that like you said, you know, let's give them their flowers. Let's give them their flowers. And I think fans out there, I think they need to give Vince his flowers now while Vince is still alive, because I don't want to see any disingenuous RIP Vince, thanks for the memories, hashtag thanks for the memories, Vince, and people posting all this stuff loving Vince when all they've done is criticize everything that he's been doing. So, yeah, you're free to criticize it. You're free to talk about it. But give Vince his flowers, because most of the stuff that you own are Vince McMahon properties, okay?
Yep.
Most of the stuff you have on your walls, most of the stuff you wear, most of the stuff you still play with, because there's some people out there right now. Yeah, I know who you are. You're listening. I know you still play with toys, all right? And all those toys, all that stuff, that comes from Vince McMahon. So give Vince McMahon his flowers now, before we start with the disingenuous hashtags.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, we'll see how the rest of the card rounds out. As you say, they're flying everything out to Saudi Arabia. So whether you want to call it a glorified house show, it is the Elimination Chamber, though, folks, emanating from Saudi Arabia on Saturday, February the 19th at 12 p.m. But later in the evening, Patrick, you know, Impact Wrestling, No Surrender. Hey, you know, a hell of a contest coming up here from the Alario Center in downtown New Orleans, man. I'll tell you, I'm pumped up for this one. Main event, Moose defending the Impact World Heavyweight Championship. We get W. Morrissey, obviously former, you know, Big Kaz under his WWE days. I think it'll be a knockdown dragout between these two behemoths. We also have, obviously, Mickie James defending the Impact World Championship, Women's World Championship. And during that evening, I think it's going to be amazing to see it as she defends it against Tasha Steelz. Obviously, a little bit of the Forbidden Door here with Honor No More, the former Ring of Honor competitors, which include Mike Bennett, Kenny King, Vincent, PCO, and Matt Taven, taking on Team Impact, consisting of Josh Alexander, Eddie Edwards, Chris Sabin, Rhino, and Rich Swann. If Honor No More wins the match, then they will stay in Impact Wrestling. I kind of get the sense, man, with Ring of Honor right now on hiatus, you know, these guys obviously, you know, with the agreements that Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor are doing, it would seem that they're going to win and stay in Impact Wrestling. We've seen Impact, Ring of Honor. We've seen New Japan work with Impact. You know, that match card is still being rounded out, but I think a great day of wrestling overall, man. Even, I know you're not the biggest Impact fan. I know I'm Mr. Impact. And by the way, folks, in case you're wondering, because I am looking for tickets, and I know tickets will be going on sale relatively soon, but here on the East Coast, Impact Wrestling comes to Philadelphia for their TV tapings on Access TV on Friday, March the 18th, and Saturday, March the 19th, at the 2300 Arena. For all you marks out there, you should know what that means, the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. So big times in wrestling coming up, brother.
What's the name of the Impact show?
No Surrender, coming up on Saturday, February the 19th at 8 p.m.
Well, I'm surrendering because I don't know anything about it. But I'm glad that the boys and girls are working, and I'm glad that they're getting a check that night. Good for them.
Oh, and by the way, I think also, too, and my apologies to the audience, I think a match that has not been set in stone yet, but it's got a lot of the marks talking online, Patrick. Getting back to the Elimination Chamber real quick, it seems like Vince is going to drag out Goldberg out for what apparently is the last match of his contract that he signed 2 years ago with Vince McMahon. It would seem that he's going to be traveling to Saudi Arabia again. Another disaster, maybe looming, as we all know, you know, what Goldberg has done in Saudi Arabia, as he should be named the challenger for Roman Reigns. This is a match, you know, 2 years in the making, you know, right before the pandemic. It was supposed to be Goldberg against Roman Reigns after Goldberg defeated The Fiend in Saudi Arabia, coincidentally. I believe that match, it's not been announced yet, but the marks are in a frenzy. I mean, I get it, Patrick. I hate Goldberg. He's a reckless guy. He's never wanted to get better. He's never wanted to improve. And whatever, you're making your money. I get it. And Vince loves to drag him out there because of nostalgia. And, you know, I don't mark out for Goldberg. Some people do. But I don't know. I'm kind of concerned. You know, Roman Reigns right now is the best thing going in WWE, arguably. The last thing I want to do is have him working with a reckless clown like Bill Goldberg. But, hey, Vince feels it's going to make money. Why not? I don't know.
I don't even think it's about money. I mean, I just think it's more about just like, hey, let's honor his contract. Let's give him one fucking farewell. And, you know, let's get him out. That's it. That's all it is. I mean, has he been reckless in the past? Yet. I think, you know, I believe in second chances for everybody. I really do. And I think Goldberg had, you know, his second chance. And, you know, I think he's become a different person. I think there's a lot more gratitude, it seems, from him for his time in professional wrestling. And I think he should be gracious. I really do. I think he should be happy that he spent the time that he did in pro wrestling, and it helped him become pretty damn rich in the process. Hey, we can all rejoice, I guess, one way or another. This is probably going to be his last match, and I think they're going to squeeze the juice out of that thing one more time, and then they're going to throw it away, probably for good.
Well, let's hope so. And again, it should only add to the legacy of Roman Reigns right now and this incredible run he's been as a heel, where he is just smash legends, right? It's part of his promos. What's one more legend to add to the belt of the dominance of Roman Reigns? Again, this Roman Reigns we've seen since August of 2020. Pat, before we call it a night here, as they say, any shout-outs, anything coming up here you want to sort of have our fans keep an eye out for? Obviously, we know that New Japan will be airing on Access TV in March. We've seen replays every Thursday night now after Impact Wrestling. We've seen Wrestle Kingdom. We just saw the G1 Classic from 2018 replay last night. We'll keep seeing replays for the rest of February as we, you know, head into March, where on March the 3rd, New Japan will be airing shows weekly there from their promotion. I'm excited for that, but you know, anything you want to give a shout out to, again, as we're about to close up shop here today?
First of all, I just want to say to everybody out there, wash your hands, brush your teeth, be nice. But more importantly, I got an issue with somebody. I got a bone to pick, and I'm calling someone out on this show, all right? And it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. He's somebody that I know is afraid of me. He's living up in Dagestan. That's right, Dagestan. You know, a lot of hard men up there. You know, a lot of tough guys. All right? And I'm calling out Hezbollah. Find me. I'll fight in the octagon in Dagestan, or we fight in America. Come to me, Hezbollah. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Pat, it's been a good show, man. I think, and again, listen, for the fans here tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, folks, again, write to us. What do you like about our analysis and breakdowns? Write to the show. Our inbox is always waiting for emails. WorkingTheMarks@gmail.com.
Tell us what you don't like.
Yes, you know, tell us what you don't like about the show. Tell us maybe I'm not harsh enough on Vince McMahon. Maybe Patrick isn't harsh enough on Vince. Maybe we're being too critical of Tony Khan, the second most powerful Khan in professional wrestling. Tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. Maybe some topics coming up. Certainly, you know, anything, once again, right to the show, workingthemarks@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We're getting some new followers now, which is great, @working_the_marks. And also, ladies and gentlemen, hit us up on Twitter with any thoughts about the show, @working_marks. And, of course, you can hear this episode, of course, our premiere episode, which did nice, you know, in terms of listenership and people and the feedback we got for it. Again, you can check out episodes at www.blogtalkradio.com/workingthemarks, all one word. And folks, again, you know, we will come to you, you know, in a couple of weeks again on February the 18th during President's Day weekend. We will be giving, you know, a little bit, you know, somewhat of a preview again of Elimination Chamber. The card should be rounded out by then. Other things going on in professional wrestling. Maybe we'll have a little bit of, you know, since it is the week after the Super Bowl, maybe, you know, since we're talking about the Super Bowl professional wrestling, maybe our quick thoughts on the Super Bowl between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. We'll talk about that. Obviously, everything going on in WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, NWA, GCW, whatever it is, whatever's on the news cycles, we're talking about it, folks, because that's what we do here on Working the Marks. He is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, Patrick Rivera. I am New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe. Saying so long, folks, again. Enjoy Valentine's Day. Enjoy it. Stay healthy and safe. Stay warm. And let's get through these winter days, and hopefully, hey, in 37 days, we'll get to see the sunset at 7 p.m. or later. So, folks, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you here next time in 2 weeks on Working the Marks on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.